Welcome to the Electoral Roadshow with analyst Supremo Wayne Sussman and me, Chris Stain. Morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Chris. It's great to have our first conversation for the year after reviewing many, many by-elections and political trends in 2025.
Before we preview this really important election year, please review the most important by-election trends of last year for us.
Yeah, and I'm not going to start the first or the second biggest party because I think when we consider our politics, a change fundamentally in 2024 with the emergence of Umkhonto weSizwe, where a new party came essentially out of nowhere 6.5 months before a major election led by former President Jacob Zuma, Umkhonto weSizwe, and really got 14% of the vote, had a lot of momentum, came so close to an outright majority in KwaZulu-Natal, and gave the ANC a lot of flames, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, and in Mpumalanga. So this, for me, is the first thing to consider because our politics changed the emergence of controversies. So the first trend to consider is that in 2025, it was a continuation of what we saw after the election in 2024, that Umkhonto weSizwe have not been able to run with the momentum they had to get that incredible result of 14%. Their results have often been a mixed bag, more often a sour bag rather than a sweet bag. And that is one of the big unknowns as we go into 2026. What Umkhonto weSizwe will show up. So, of course, they have more councillors today than they did at the end of at the start of 2025, but it's still a mixed bag. They weren't able to win a ward in Mpumalanga, which I was expecting them to do, and that is something which we're going to have to observe closely. The second one is with regards to the ANC and the metropolitan areas beyond Mangaung and Buffalo City, certainly Buffalo City. And that is that the ANC's suffered sharp declines, particularly towards the end of the year. We started seeing a big pattern of data, particularly in the Gauteng metros. And we know, again, that this is where almost a quarter of our nation's voters are in this one small province. And the ANC, there are some very worrying signs for the ANC. And this is something which, if they cannot turn around, will be a very challenging year for them at the ballot box. Thirdly, is the second largest party in the country, the Democratic Alliance. They continue to have challenges in the Platteland area of the Western Cape, part of the Eastern Cape, and the Northern Cape. This has largely to do with the Patriotic Alliance. So when one looks at the 2024 elections, it was challenges by many cuts for the DA. So even though they grew, there was Action SA, Rise Mzansi, Build One South Africa on the one side. Then you had the Patriotic Alliance, good in the Cape Coloured Congress, and then also the Freedom Front. Essentially, in 2025, the DA only has one party to really be worried about. This is what the by-election trend suggests, and that is the Patriotic Alliance. Now, I would say that the Patriotic Alliance had an incredible year. They finished much stronger at the end of 2025 than they were after the 2024 elections. However, that incredible upward trajectory did start tapering off, and it'll be interesting to see whether the PA can reach the heights which we saw in parts of the year, or whether it'll be continuing to be some of a taper off, because that will, of course, impact on the DA and the ANC.
Looking ahead, how do you see the by-election landscape changing this year?
It always depends on where those by-elections are. So the ANC would want, of course, by-elections to take place in the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and many parts of the rural northwest, because though its support is relatively sticky in those parts of the country. When I look at the first few rounds of by-elections, There are a lot of by-elections taking place because of DA and ANC councillors who've crossed over to the Patriotic Alliance. That's the reason why these by-elections are taking place. So you would expect the Patriotic Alliance to actually have a strong start to the year. I'm looking at places like George, which is the third most populous municipality in the Western Cape, so crucially important to all parties, certainly the DA. These are DA seats. And the PA will fancy their chances of taking advantage of the DA's challenges in George. We do have a by-election taking place soon in Centurion next week. This will be a race between the DA and the Freedom Front. I'm also watching a race coming up in the following weeks in Mogale City, in a township in the Krugersdorp area, but actually closer to Soweto. And one of the trends we saw emerging, Chris, was the bounce back of Action SA. Remember, Action SA took Gauteng by storm in the 2021 local government elections. They passed the EFF as the third most popular party in Johannesburg. And then they struggled in the 2024 elections. One of the trends we saw develop towards the end of 2025 is Action SA doing well, recovering some support, often being second in by-elections in the Gauteng area and beating the ANC in a rural northwest seat. Why is this important, Mogale City? Because Mogale City is closer to the northwest. This is an area where Action SA has a lot of promise. So that is something I'm going to be looking at. And then, Chris, also KwaZulu-Natal, particularly the northern KwaZulu-Natal. We are going to see a number of by-elections in Nongoma. And remember, Nongoma, one of the things which prevented some people having a well-deserved holiday was the NFP crisis, the National Freedom Party crisis. Just to remind the viewers and the listeners, the National Freedom Party was formed as an IFP breakaway during the Jacob Zuma dominant period in KwaZulu-Natal for the ANC. And here the NFP really made a splash, but have struggled. Their leader and founder died. The party lost all its seats in the National Assembly, have one critical seat in KwaZulu-Natal. But its vote share is quite strong in Nongoma, which is in the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal, where a lot of the traditional royal palaces are for the Zulu kingdom, and also Abakulusi, which is in the Bergville area. I'm going to be watching those carefully, because are the IFP going to be winning over these NFP votes, or is it going to be Nkontuwe Sizwe? So these are some of the trends we're going to be seeing. I see there are some by-elections in an ANC stronghold in Cape Town, an ANC stronghold in Buffalo City. Let's also watch those metropolitan areas closely.
Michelle's the mom who traded in her Fiat 500 for this beast right here. But why the momentous move, huh?
I needed something bigger to keep up with my growing son in his mini sports bags.
When you traded in your car with We Buy Cars, was it an easy conversion?
I see what you did there. The process was just so easy. I was given a tablet, had to sign, and that was it.
Basically, We Buy Cars is no mess, no fuss. Okay, it was nice chatting. We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Let's go over to the Democratic Alliance. How do you see this year play out for federal chair Helen Zille, who wants to be mayor of Johannesburg, and leader John Steenhuisen, who is facing a big challenge?
Yes, that's a great question. So just again to take one step back, we know that in 2027, the ANC has its elective Congress. So for the DA, it's before the local government elections. So the DA will be before the local government election, the ANC after the local government elections. If one looks at the terrain, I think John Steenhuisen is desperately keen, or any person is desperately keen, to lead the DA into this local government election, because despite the challenges of the PA, there's a very strong chance for growth in the metropolitan areas, and the DA's vote share, which was, I think, about the 21, 22% mark in 2021, is likely to grow. And a leader who shows growth will have a confidence, should have a confidence of the party to lead them into the next election. The DA's biggest challenge is, on the one hand, the PA, but also its internal infighting. Remember, Dion George the former cabinet minister, isn't just someone, he wasn't chosen to be the minister because of his prowess on environment. He was chosen because of his seniority in the party. This is someone who's the equivalent of the Treasurer General, i.e. one of the top positions in the, that's a top position in the ANC. It's also a top position in the DA. So Dion George has his followers, has have people who felt he was hard done by. And then there is also someone, let's say, like Andrew Whitfield. Maybe people in the party feel that the DA didn't, that Steenhuisen didn't stand up enough for him. So, and then, of course, there's the credit card incident, and Steenhuisen answered those questions on BizNews. It was very interesting to listen to his defense. So this will be the core thing now for the DA. Is Steenhuisen going to be challenged? And what kind of DA emerges from that? Because up until this, particularly the Dion George moment, you could say the DA was very united. We know that they were divided in the Musi-Maimane era. And now that those divisions are returning. So that's going to be key. With regards to Helen Ziller, look, I'm sure she's going to focus. Her main thing this year will be to the mayor of Johannesburg. That'll be the crowning part of her political legacy. Easier said than done for any political party to emerge as the mayor in Johannesburg. It's a very, I mean, the ANC got 35%, the DA 27%. Both those parties were well off that 50% mark. But that's going to be Helen Ziller. It will be interesting to see, regardless of her running for mayor, whether she stands for another term. I don't know if she's made a pronouncement on that. So it's going to be interesting for the DA. And again, let me just round off this point, that a leader who shows growth is likely to have a very good chance of leading the party to the next election.
When, let's go to KwaZulu-Natal, where that provincial coalition is teetering.
Yeah, and that's why, again, a lot of these by-elections coming up in Nongoma are because of the NFP councillors, ward councillors there resigning. And I think if one, again, politics after the election is all about the numbers. And when we go through those numbers, it's clear that MK plus EFF plus the National Freedom Party only gets you to 40 out of 80. When you govern in that scenario, and by the way, in Gauteng, there's a minority government, but the Panyaza Sufi can rely on the support of the EFF or the MK. So it can be done. But in the KwaZulu-Natal environment, it's very fraught. What I see happening is that you can get rid of Premier Thamin Thuli. You can get do a vote of no confidence because you can get a rogue person in maybe the ANC, the IFP, or the DA to back this motion of no confidence. I just cannot see how you can govern effectively from 2026 to the end of term in 2029. Because if there's a rogue member of the provincial legislature which votes for the MK or against the coalition, they will be summarily dismissed and fired and lose their seat. So I cannot see a scenario but chaos, because I believe that the IFP will want to govern, the DA wants to govern, and the ANC wants to govern. So I go back to the numbers, and it's the ANC plus the DA plus the IFP plus the NFP is 41. That's 41 out of 80 gives you an effective majority. Yes, it's paper thin, but that's better than getting up to 40 out of 80. And again, I don't think this is, and look, I said it earlier, the NFP does have an historical loyalty to Jacob Zuma. There's rumors that he was involved in the formation. The NFP historically preferred to work with Jacob Zuma's ANC over the IFP. But I think this is to do with its leader, Ivan Barnes, not having a seat in parliament, not having the MEC position, not having the provincial legislature position. It's all about positions. It's not to do with ideological, it's not to do with ideology or principles or values or the direction of KwaZulu-Natal. This is all about positions. And this fight between the two key leaders in the NFP is likely to tear the party apart and is likely to see it suffer in these upcoming by-elections and certainly suffer a lot in the next local government elections.
Wayne, the way you have analyzed the trend should be able, sorry, the way you've analyzed the trend should enable you to tell us what surprises might be in store for us this year.
Yeah. So as I said at the start, MK emerged 6.5 months before the election and turned our politics on its head. The Patriotic Alliance, a party which didn't even come close to sniffing a parliamentary seat anywhere in the provincial legislatures or the parliament in 2019, emerged as, I think, as the sixth largest party after the last election. So things can happen in a short space of time. So I'm going to be looking for regional parties, new parties emerging in the coming weeks and months. I think once that election date gets pronounced, it's going to be very interesting. We're going to look at KwaZulu-Natal closely, because even if MK loses some of its mojo, does that support go to the IFP? Does it go to the ANC? Does it go to a new party? We'll be watching the Gauteng metros. This is going to be very, very interesting. So again, a lot can happen. Let's wait for that election date to be announced. And again, Chris, I just want to make one other point, which was about elective congresses. If the election goes badly for the ANC, I think right now it's clear that Cyril Ramaphosa is by far the strongest leader, that he's not going to be challenged. Before the local government election, he will lead the party into the local government election. If the election goes badly, I wonder whether there'll be a move to ask him to step aside, to ask him to resign, and that will see be a very interesting development. But there's a long time between now and the elections.
Thank you. That was elections analyst Wayne Sussman on the Electoral Roadshow with me, Chris Stain. Thanks, Wayne.